Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 1:11 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is August 11th. Well, we've had quite a bit of volatility in markets the last 2 days. Initially, yesterday, the majority of indices were in positive territory, closed on the lower side of the range, following the statements from Jay Powell that this looked more like a mid-cycle minor interest rate cut. And then people started thinking about, well, golly, maybe they're not going to cut rates aggressively over the course of the next year. Then today, the majority of markets were basically taking the assumption that the fact that they were not willing to cut interest rates by a lot was probably supportive of the market. And then you had the factory activity report came out today, and it wasn't really particularly positive, so that increased the potential that the Federal Reserve will be cutting interest rates again, so markets went up. Then President Trump came out and said, well, we're going to impose an additional well, we're going to impose tariffs on the $300 billion worth of goods from China that don't have tariffs on them yet. And that includes clothing, it includes consumer electronics. Those are the kinds of things that consumers are going to find very clearly rising in price. It's probably going to set off a scramble among the corporate sector to get their imports in before the 1st of September. They've only got 30 days in which to, or 31 days in which to do so, before the busy fourth quarter season. And this is the time of year when companies do perform the inventory build ahead of the busiest part of the year. So that is likely to have an effect on the Cass Trucking Index, for example. And that's one of the problems with relying on some of these indices, is that they have been very clearly affected by the movements, or the change in the cyclicality of how companies are importing and exporting and moving inventory around, just based on trying to optimize their operations for the volatile nature of the trade war. This also suggests that we're, on the one hand, going to potentially have a little bit of additional inflation, but that it also represents an intensification of the trade war. It's not something that people were willing to really think was a likely scenario. And the breakdown of talks with China, and then further the imposition of tariffs, well, that has been enough for people to start to take some profits in here. The S&P 500 was at a new high yesterday. It's now back below the 3,000 level. Well, 3,000 is an awfully big psychological level. It wouldn't be beyond the bounds of possibility that we do get some consolidation in this area. Certainly, the pullback that we've seen in here today does suggest that it is more likely than not that we are going to have a somewhat deeper pullback now, and that that raises the potential that we could come back down and test the region of the 200-day moving average, which is approximately another 200 points on the downside from where the price is right now. When we then think about what's going on in terms of, for example, the Russell 2000, well, it had got up to test the $1,600, excuse me, point area yesterday, and failed. That now rather raises the potential that it is going to go right back down and test the lower side of this range. And I think this is a rather important index to pay attention to, considering that we have had a failed break above the 1600 area in the early part of May, and then a failed break below the range in the middle of June. Well, now there's a likelihood we're going to go right back down and test to the lower side of this range. And perhaps the most important thing to really point out and be clear about is that this was a massive reaction against the prevailing trend at the end of last year. And subsequently, we've had the rebound, and this continues to look like a period of right-hand extension. It's not going to look like a consolidation until it can sustain a move above the 1600 point level, and it has failed there right now. On the other hand, it starts breaking below 1400, well, then we're going to have confirmation of a first step below the peak, and I think that would be rather meaningful. So what happens in terms of the small caps, I think, is certainly worth paying attention to. The intensification of the trade war is obviously not great news for the semiconductors index, and it has pulled back rather sharply in here this week from the 1600 level. Now, I think anyone can see that there is a short-term overbought condition, and it does look like that it is going to be unwound. Perhaps the most and the clearest bullish signal that we saw in here today was the breakout in the 10-year Treasury. This is about as clear an upward dynamic to complete a two-month range as anyone might hope for. And it really does copper fasten the consistency characteristics of this trend that's been up since October of last year. We've had ranges that have lasted approximately 2 months now on three different occasions, and each one of those ranges has been completed with a resounding breakout. And those breakouts have been sustained, and it has led to an additional rally on the upside, and then another two-month consolidation. Well, it's now looking increasingly likely that this trend, despite the fact that there is it has been rather steep on the upside over the course of the last 7 or 8 months, but more importantly, it's been very consistent, and that suggests that we are in for another leg on the upside. Now, when we flip it over and look at the yield, well, there was that clear failed upside break above 3%. The dynamic of the failure was substantially larger than the dynamic of the breakout, and it is now coming back down to test to the lower side of the range. Well, this has been a very well-defined range over the course of the last 7 years, and it's basically between 1.5% and 3%. It looks increasingly likely that we are going to see a retest of the 1.5% level and a clear break in that sequence of ranges, one below another, would be really required to question the consistency of this downtrend. And this very clearly suggests that investors are willing to bet that the Federal Reserve is not going to stop at one interest rate cut, that they are much more likely to be cutting rates in an aggressive manner in order to protect the economy from the ill effects of the trade war. 3 month yields have come back from 2.5% to about 2%, and that has broken the uptrend, and it was an incredibly persistent advance. The 200-day moving average is now trending, or I guess turning downwards, and it looks increasingly likely we're going to see continued lower levels tested. When we then look perhaps a little longer at the 2-year, well, that was a very clear downward dynamic we've seen in here today, and it rather suggests that it's more likely than not that we're going to see additional downside. Again, this represents a really rather consistent compression in the yield. But when we then think about how is all of this affecting Germany, for example, well, the Bund yield was at another new low in here today at negative 45 basis points. And this also represents a really quite consistent decline, although the pace of the decline is certainly picking up. So I think there is certainly the scope for at least some consolidation, but there is approximately $14 trillion worth of bonds that have got negative yields right now. I saw this graphic in here today, and I thought it was particularly interesting. It's that in the corporate bond sector, there is approximately $1 trillion of bonds that has got a negative yield, and that is representative of approximately 10% of all corporate debt. Well, one would have to think, and despite the fact that there are a small number of high-yield bonds that have got negative yields, the vast majority would have to therefore be in the investment-grade sector. Half of all corporate debt is in the BBB level, so that's really not far from being downgraded to junk. What it suggests is that we are definitely in a bubbly environment for bonds. There is no question about that, that when there is $14 trillion worth of bonds that have got negative yields, where on a yield to maturity basis or a yield to worst, you are definitely going to lose money, and yet the momentum trade is persisting. Well, what that has effectively done has turned everybody into a trader, and not just any trader, but a momentum trader. And that's not a comfortable position for the kinds of people that would traditionally have been engaged in laddering their the maturity of their bond portfolio to meet their longer term calls on capital. And that's simply impossible in this kind of environment, because you simply cannot hold bonds to maturity in this environment. But somebody has to eventually end up holding the bonds when they do get to maturity. And the other point, of course, is that the Federal Reserve could potentially take losses on some of its bonds if they're going to be rolling their holdings into treasuries at today's prices. Then it's on the assumption that they are going to be able to buy them at par. They're certainly holding them at par. Therefore, it's everyone else is supporting this market. The Federal Reserve probably gets to buy their bonds from the Treasury at par. Everyone else pays substantially more for them. But of course, the other point is that when there is this incredible move and desire to capture yield, well, that is helping to compress the high yield spread. We know that there is a brewing problem in the high yield markets. We know that there is going to be a time where a lot of the bonds that are currently one slot above or one rung above junk are going to be downgraded, but there's no evidence of it yet. And as long as this momentum move in bonds continues, then that is likely to help to compress the risk in the equity markets. So we definitely have at least some evidence of profit taking going on in stock markets today. Now, that's certainly evident on the S&P 500. And then when we think about the NASDAQ, well, it also reversed an earlier advance to finish pretty close to the low of the day. Well, that is confirming at least near-term resistance in the region of 8,000. And it does hold out the prospect that we're going to go back down and test the lower side of the range, or potentially the region of the trend mean. Then when we think about how is this going to affect other markets, well, the big one is probably going to be China. Well, the Hang Seng was down 200 points in here today, and it has been down now on in a dynamic manner so far this week. When we think about how is the additional tariff news going to be greeted in China? Well, on the one hand, they're probably going to be less inclined to deal because they don't want they don't want to lose face by looking like they're being bullied. On the other hand, they're going to look on the unrest that is going on in Hong Kong and probably conclude that, and they have been rather vocal in saying this, that it is instigated by the USA, and they view it as interference or foreign interference in a domestic matter. That suggests that there is really quite a considerable risk in Hong Kong that we're going to get mainland boots on the ground, and some form of martial law introduced if these protests that have been going on in Hong Kong for the last couple of months now don't dissipate soon. If they rather re-intensify to the millions of people on the street that we had back in early July or late June, then that is very much increasing the potential that this situation is going to get out of hand. And the Hang Seng does not look like the most consistent of trends. It hasn't looked like a consistent trend since at least the beginning of 2018. Then when we think about the A-share market, well, it remains a very managed market. I really don't think there's much to be gained by paying a great deal of attention to it, other than the fact that it looks like a consolidation. What I think is more important is that the renminbi was weaker in here today. And when we think about the fact that China's economy is slowing, they do have a bad loans problem. They have got a significant leverage problem, particularly for the regional banks. They've got a slowing manufacturing sector. And all of that would certainly be helped by a weaker currency. They don't want to have a weaker currency because of what that would say about the health of their economy. But this continues to look like a bullish chart. It looks like a consolidation. It looks like we're going to see the renminbi break below the 7 level at some stage. And really, a sustained move back below 6.8 would be required to question that this isn't still a dollar-dominated environment. Well, the dollar was firm yesterday, but it gave up some of that advance in here today with the imposition of tariffs. And that was particularly beneficial for the euro. It had got all the way down to test the 110 handle and has rebounded. And there is a short-term oversold condition, so we may see some additional consolidation in here. Well, when we think about the dollar index, it broke on the upside yesterday. And it has not held that advance. This has been a choppy higher to lateral ranging period over the course of the last 12 months. And on these occasions, breakouts have not been sustained. And every time one has failed, it has come back and tested the sequence of higher reaction lows. Nobody wants a strong currency in here. And the USA definitely doesn't want a strong currency, but some need a weaker currency more than others. Europe and China certainly need a weaker currency more than the USA does at the present time. But any sign of weakness in the dollar is being greeted with strong moves in the gold price. And the gold price in dollars today was up nearly $30. A very clear upward dynamic, the biggest move we've seen inside this range. And it rather suggests that there is a more likely than not conclusion here that it is going to resolve on the upside, and that this little range that has persisted for the last 6 weeks is just a little range and nothing more than a consolidation in the region of the upper side of the 6-year base formation. But what was particularly interesting today was that all the interest was in gold. Silver, for example, pulled all the way back to $16 and then rebounded. So this does suggest the end of a consolidation phase. Platinum prices have also pulled back in a rather sharp manner. They haven't quite rebounded to the same extent that silver did, but it has bounced from the $850 area, and the upper bias to trading remains intact. Palladium also pulled back violently. It has got perhaps more of the industrial uses to it than the other metals, so it is performing more like copper in here today than it is a precious metal. Copper prices came back down to test the $2.60 area. And this continues to look like a period of right-hand extension following the Type 2 top that we saw in the middle of 2018. A clear move and sustained move above the 200-day moving average would be required to question that hypothesis. When we think about the continuous commodity index, there has been a sequence of lower rally highs, evident since the first the beginning of the second quarter of 2018, and that was a dynamic drop in here today. It was also affected by the oil price, and we saw a meaningful pullback from the region of the trend mean for the oil price in here today. It was down almost $4. And this also looks like a period of right-hand extension following the Type 2 top that we had in May. Well, what that suggests is we're going to see a period of lower to lateral ranging. The fact that we're seeing the industrial metals leading on the downside, what that suggests is they're paying much closer attention to what's going on in China and the outlook for global growth than anything else. China is going to have to come through with more than the fiscal stimulus, but also monetary stimulus, if it's going to avoid a significant hit to growth. What we are definitely seeing, however, is that manufacturers are already voting with their feet, and the Vietnamese market was in positive territory again in here today. It's coming right back up to this 1,000-point level. It's been pausing here for much of the last year. It's going to have to sustain a move above it in order to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. But certainly the fact that it has bounced from the region of the trend mean is rather favorable. Reliance Industries is by far the largest company in India. The fact that it has now pulled back below the trend mean has had a knock-on effect for the Nifty. But what's perhaps of greater interest is there is certainly a liquidity crisis going on in part of the financial sector. The Bombay Banks Index was down in a rather sharp manner in here today, and it was led lower by one of the state banks, State Bank of India. When we think about the outlook for some of the smaller, or I guess the privately held banks would probably be the most correct way to say it. Well, the downtrend in Yes Bank is still intact. There is still a sequence of lower rally highs, but the momentum on the downside is moderating, and they are in tough negotiations right now to try and raise capital. India Bulls took some heat from the chairman of the BJP party earlier on this week, where it was claimed that they have been looting the state housing finance company, and that resulted in the share breaking below the 600 rupee level and reasserting the downtrend. It's going to have to bounce in a manner similar to what it did at the end of the second quarter if it is going to increase the potential that we're going to go back up into the overhead range. And then Tata Motors has also broken on the downside. They may be at a position here where they are going to have to sell off some of their big brand names, potentially Land Rover, for example. The share has now renewed on the downside, and that does not look especially favorable. So while the Nifty index has been benefiting from not only the creation of a 4G network and increasingly the build-out of a 5G network for India and the growth of the online sector, it's some of the stress is starting to appear now in the housing finance sector. India, however, is one of the only countries where there is a really strong growth dynamic in the banking sector. The opportunity that India represents, or I guess that China represents to India as a result of the trade war, does it would be rather favorable for India if they could sort out their non-performing loans and get back into a credit growth scenario in order to take maximum advantage of that. That would suggest that they probably do need a bad bank, but they haven't yet done it. But these kinds of liquidity crises, they do tend to work themselves out. And when we do start to see some of these indices moving around, particularly some of what are considered the shadow banks, then, and those are particularly the housing finance companies, then that should be positive for India. Well, when we start to really consider what's going on out there in the real world, well, the rise of populism and the knock-on rising nationalism and isolationism and the clear intention to try and disrupt the globalization that has persisted for the last 40 years is creating uncertainty. And that is most particularly true of Europe. If China is under stress, well, Europe is also under stress. And that suggests that we could anticipate there is going to be some additional selling pressure going on in the European markets tomorrow. But most particularly Germany, where they have a strong relationship with the Chinese corporate sector. And if Chinese growth is slowing, then that is bad news for Europe as well. Well, there is obviously a clear drive among central bankers to now start to increase monetary and fiscal stimulus. Governments are rowing in behind the fiscal stimulus move. This is modern monetary theory writ large, where you have a clear relationship and a formalization of the tacit relationships that have existed for years to both stimulate on a monetary and fiscal front. And as long as that remains the case, that we have a liquidity-fueled environment, then that should help to support markets. I really rather think that the high yield spreads and the acceleration that we're getting in the bond markets, that does suggest that we are in bubbly activity for the fixed income sector. When that eventually does roll over, it is going to have a knock-on effect for just about everything. And that's one of the reasons why gold is doing better. And I think with that, I will leave it for today and wish all the best to all of you.